Looking at the current situation we see just now, how bad has the current bushfire season been?
Yeah, look, we started the season coming out of a very dry and warm winter. One of the driest on record. And what we saw is a significant amount of activity initially around August, September, and even the beginning of October. Then we saw a little bit of a lull in the season. But definitely since Christmas time, we've really started to see the landscape dry out. And then with that, unfortunately, we saw significant lightning activity right across the state. So over the past few weeks, we've been dealing with just around about 100 fires right across New South Wales. And look, that has impacted, as you just mentioned there in the intro, that has actually impacted on areas where traditionally people at this time of year would go camping as well. So, look, it's still relatively busy. Fortunately, nothing really impacting on homes at the moment, though.
Yeah, it's interesting. As I mentioned, you know, the Royal National Park shut down due to a fire. These kind of places, what kind of places do we actually see being closed down for people because they're just too dangerous at the moment?
Yeah, look, on any given day, national parks and state forests may actually put either on solid fuel burns because they understand that it is quite dry and they don't want people lighting campfires. But even when we start to see days of total fire ban, so traditionally when we start to see days of severe fire danger and above, national parks may actually tend to close some walking trails. So, look, that's mostly just for the public safety because we understand that the people walking into these areas may be therefore at risk because it doesn't offer them much opportunity to get out of a particular area if a fire was to start. So that's why it's always important that before you undertake these activities, you go and source some of that information before you set out.
You mentioned before lightning strikes and dealing with lightning strikes as, igniting a great deal of fires. Are they often the guilty culprit? Because often we do hear about fires that have been lit by humans, whether that is accidentally or unfortunately sometimes in some cases lit deliberately as well. What are the main culprits we actually look at when we talk about bushfires getting lit?
Yeah, look, this season in particular where we've seen significant lightning activity across the landscape, and that has led to literally hundreds of ignitions. But each and every day too, as you said, that human intervention part plays a role as well. Actual arson itself is a relatively low figure. Basically, less than 5% of fires are actually attributed to arson. But as you mentioned, that human intervention where we do see people either driving or parking along dry grass, flicking cigarette butts, or actually leaving campfires unattended, even things like harvesting as well. So where humans have actually gone into that landscape and accidentally started a fire. So that's what we tend to see the majority of fires from. And obviously lightning as well, but the actual arson figure is relatively low. Unfortunately, though, we do see those arson figures on those days tend to impact on homes and infrastructure, and that's why we need the public's assistance on those kind of days as well, especially reporting that kind of suspicious activity.
Well, obviously, on these very hot days we were mentioning there, flicking cigarettes into dry bush, starting campfires that you can't really control, obviously very sort of unwise activity to be undertaking indeed. How else can people actually stay safe when, on these very, very hot days, still engaging with these outdoor activities like bushwalking and camping? How can people sort of ensure their safety is kind of, being kept tantamount?
Yeah, look, what we ask for people to do first and foremost is to always have a plan. Now, that plan isn't just for your house if you live in bushfire-prone land. It's actually for if you're going camping or if you're going bushwalking. So where are you going to go? If there is a fire, where else could we actually go to or could we move to? So it's just setting those things out prior to actually going. And consideration as well, if there is a total fire ban and it is, going to be in the high 30s and low humidity, do I really want to partake in this kind of activity today or can I postpone it? So they're the things that we want people to discuss because it's when people are actually threatened and they haven't had that time to really discuss their plan, that's when people can make, silly decisions or they don't really think out what they're actually doing and that's when they can put themselves at risk. And unfortunately, that's when we do see lives lost.
Well, Ben, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us on the program this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
No problem at all.